This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
It's go time.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Brees Hall, he's going to throw the ball.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Jets are going to win it.
Touchdown, Kayshon Booty.
What a weapon.
Pittman snared it in with one hand. Tucker Kraft having a night.
The Rich Eisen Show on today's show. Complete Week 8 recap, Monday night preview, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California, where the World Series returns to action tonight in game number 3. Blue Jays and Dodgers all knotted at one game apiece. Part of your weekend in which we saw some end-to-end wild action in the National Football League in week number 8. There is a new sheriff in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that is going to be hired as Brian Kelly is shown the door by LSU after getting boat raced by Texas A&M. He and James Franklin are going to start a bank together, and we'll talk about that later in the program. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial as we are open for business here on this Monday, Overreaction Monday. The podcast has already been recorded, and it is up there. Out there and in there, on your RSS feed there on the YouTube channel that we were so pleased to have. Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And how many subscribers do we have on that front?
One million
subscribers, at least, and counting. We greatly appreciate all of that. We say hello to everybody watching us on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, listening to us on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, Christopher Brockman. Good to see you. I feel like we've already done a full show,
yes,
and we
Rich.
Have.
Yes,
good
yes.
To see
I'm
you.
Spectacular. Great to see
DJ
you.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see Mike Del Tufo. TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit. What's going on over there, sir?
How about them Cowboys?
See, that's what happens. If you don't have your microphone open, he's going to jump in first. Is this microphone just not working?
I knew he was going to do that. I know. Okay. Here's the deal, Rich. You were talking about the coaches starting the bank. I think Jimbo Fisher
is probably going to be a partner.
Yeah, he's got a little bit more money than the other two. But
that's true. And that bank already has a very old Christmas tree out in front of it, the one that Jimbo threw out, right? Speaking of Texas A&M. At any rate, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The program. Let's start with Sunday Night Football. Why not? Not a revenge game. And Aaron Rodgers told us, essentially, he's going to go full Favre, which is get drafted. His drafting pisses off the veteran that was there. The veteran that was there dilly-dallies about wanting to stay there. Then Rodgers finally gets that start. He becomes the first ballot Hall of Famer, only to have somebody drafted to kind of piss him off. Then he stays there, goes back and forth about really wants to be there. And then the team essentially sends him packing to the Jets, just like Favre, right? And then that craps out. Then he goes somewhere else with a chance to win the Super Bowl. Okay. And then basically will wind up in the Packer family, retiring as a Packer, and he'll wave to fans for the rest of his career in the Packers. Have a relationship with him, because that's what he said this week, is that he doesn't view this as a revenge game. Mariucci said on Game Day Morning, it's more of like a remember me game, you know.
Okay.
Well, and that's basically making sure the fans in Green Bay know. Did you know he played 18 seasons with the Green Bay Packers? That's the most of anybody there ever.
Yeah.
Two more than Starr and Mason Crosby and Favre. Nobody's ever played 18 years for the Packers. And so, as I mentioned, totally got it, totally believed it, that he isn't viewing this as a, I'll show you, you should have kept me, because he already did that by winning two MVP awards after they traded up to go take Jordan Love to surprise Rodgers. And basically, as we said last week, his revenge games were played for the Packers while he was still a Packer. Good point. And then he realized his time was up. Let's go see where else he can play and win. And he's 4-2 going into last night's home game, wearing, you know, throw out jerseys, if you don't mind me saying.
Like throw them out, like get rid of them?
Yeah, get rid of them. Throw them out. Throw out jerseys. I don't know what they're, whatever. But long story short is he's out there in the throwback jerseys from the Great Depression. And now the Packers, yada, 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 put the Steeler fans in a Great Depression because the Packers showed up last night with the kid who is all right. And you got to give it up to Jordan Love, man. The day would come, we all figured that he would play against Rodgers. And we all knew this was the year when Rodgers went to Pittsburgh and the Steelers had the Packers on their home schedule. And we found out it was going to be a Week 8 Sunday nighter. And the folks in the league office, you knew, would serve it up on us, you know, that piece of filet mignon for the whole country. And they did it on Sunday Night Football. And all Jordan Love did in the game in which he was on the same field as Rodgers, trying to go point for point with Rodgers, and Rodgers would get points on the board through the leg of Chris Boswell three times to take a 9-7 lead in this game, and then a 16-7 lead in this game, a 9-point lead in a game that the Packers just overwhelmed the Steelers in the second half because Jordan Love, all he did was come up against Aaron Rodgers' defense, but in a game in which he's going against Aaron Rodgers, the highest passer rating of his career, 134.2, 29 for 37, 360 passing yards, second most in his career, three touchdowns. Four games now with multiple passing touchdowns and no interceptions this year. Only Jalen Hurts has more of those. 16th career game with multiple passing touchdowns and no interceptions in his 40th career start. The only individual all time who has more such games in his first 40 career starts is named Patrick Mahomes. You're going to see go at it tonight. That's what Jordan Love did last night. And the Packers come up with their fourth win of the season, decided by two or more possessions. 5-1-1 right now. They took over this game in the second half and popped 35 on that Steelers defense to win by 10, 454 yards of total offense. You know Matt LaFleur could not have been more pleased. And he said exactly what was on everyone's mind when it came to Jordan Love finding, you know, Tucker Kraft as tight end on National Tight Ends Day. And then Christian Watson comes back. All he does is catch four balls for 85 yards coming off of the PUP list. And LaFleur took to the mic afterwards about Love.
It's great for Jordan. Jordan's worked his ass off to get here. You know, he was patient throughout the process, throughout the journey. And he took advantage of the opportunity. He really did. And I thought, you know, it's been cool. I've said this many times, just to watch how he's matured as a young guy coming in here at 21 years old, and he's a grown-ass man now, and you see it, what he does, how he carries himself. He just is so confident. He's a great teammate. He encourages the other guys. He's a hell of a leader, and he's really grown as a football player.
I don't blame him for gushing about him, right? Because it was grooming for this moment. Jordan Love, after the game, had this to say about the moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's that, like you said, there's that added level of pressure. You know, I knew coming in this week, this is going to be a very hyped up game and very talked about game for A-Rod coming back and playing against the Packers for the first time. And, you know, obviously us going up against each other. So, you know that. And like I said at the beginning of the week, my mindset was just trying to come out here and focus on getting that win. Try and block all that extra stuff out and just be the player I need to be and focus on what their defense does and find ways to take advantage of that and coming out here and getting this win. But definitely I knew coming into the week what this, what was, you know, entailed in this week.
Yeah, and the way to take advantage was to just keep finding Tucker Kraft. Career high 7 receptions for a buck 43 and 2 receiving touchdowns. The last tight end with 140 receiving yards and 2 receiving touchdowns in a primetime game is named Travis Kelce, who we'll see tonight on NBC, on ABC and ESPN's Monday Night Football. And Christian Watson did what he did. Josh Jacobs did what he did, which is come up with his 70th career rushing touchdown. Tied for second amongst active players with, this is insane, Josh Allen.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Emmanuel Wilson got 61 rush yards, too. I mean, it was all cooking. Mm-hmm. All cooking. As Love became just the third quarterback in Green Bay history to do something, which I'll tell you about on the backside of this soundbite that I'm sure he dreamed about when he was backing up this guy in Green Bay, wondering when he would ever get his shot to play a game and start a game for Green Bay, let alone go against this guy.
Yeah, I thought J-Love played great, and he was super efficient. You know, he didn't get sacked, moved around really well, made some plays outside the pocket. Thought he played outstanding.
I mean, you know Rodgers wanted to have the best game of his life last night. And even though it was not a revenge game, which, again, I believe, because there's tons of people he adores there, but you know he wanted to show up and show out.
Yeah.
And for him to, again, you know, say it was outstanding, it's honest, and it's also cool of him to say that, because I'm sure, again, Jordan Love sitting in that quarterback room, soaking in as much as he could from Rodgers and taking whatever advice he could get or hoping he would get, and then turning into the quarterback that did what he did last night against Rodgers' defense in a game against Aaron Rodgers, is a dream come true for Love, who joins Rodgers and Brett Favre as the only quarterbacks in Green Bay history to throw for 350 yards, no interceptions, and no sacks taken in a game. Oh, he also had 20 straight completions in the contest, tying Brett Favre for the longest streak in a game by a Packers quarterback this century. So he got it done, and this is exactly what we all talk about. Certainly, if you're a national show like we are, or if you're in Wisconsin, or you are like our audio executive and owner of 2 shares of the Green Bay Packers, or one, because you gave one away. You're a big man.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so valuable.
Yeah.
You gave away your one and a pet rock to somebody. Is that, and this is amazing, last night they showed the stat during Sunday Night Football that 97% of the games since 1992 for Green Bay have been started by either Favre, Rodgers, or Love. Cooper, at age 14, goes, "Dad, that's great. Insane, says a 14-year-old born in 2011. You know, and it's nuts how you go from one guy to the next to the next. Obviously, Jordan Love has got a lot to go to join Rodgers and Favre in the ultimate pantheon of Super Bowl winner and first ballot Hall of Famers. But last night just kind of confirmed it. And then you look again at what Love is doing for this team right now. As he turns 27 next week on Sunday, he'll play on his 27th birthday for Green Bay, taking on the Carolina Panthers at home. That age 27, as we know, is when Bart Starr won in 1961 for a championship. It was Favre's age when he won his Super Bowl for Green Bay. It was Rodgers' age when he won his Super Bowl for Green Bay. And this Green Bay team is set up to make that run. They're currently first in the NFC at 5-1-1. And that NFC North is shaping up just like last year, where the winner might be the one seed and the loser might be the top wild card. Yep. First place gets to have a week off. Second place gets to go on the road to take on somebody like the Rams or the Seahawks or the Bucks or the Niners. Good luck. That's the way it's shaping up right now. Packers and Lions, by the way, kick off your Thanksgiving triple header. That will be big. Lots of big games between then, including the Packers and Lions, both taking on the Eagles, who we'll talk about in a second. But Green Bay is that team. Young guys on defense buzzing around everywhere. Micah. Playing at the top of his game right now. Really, like the guy who needed to be worked in, wondering about his back, how many snaps can he give you? That guy's gone. The Micah that we've known from Dallas is showing up. Sean Gary and the rest of that front seven coming at you. And then on offense, it's a whole host of guys that you don't have on your fantasy team because you don't know if it's going to be their night or not. Yep. Okay? It was a Tucker Kraft night last night. You probably do have him in your fantasy league, but you don't know who's going to get it. You have no idea who Jordan Love's going to pick you apart with. A bunch of people where you're like, really? Well, hold on a minute. Oh, yeah, he's available in 95% of leagues. That guy who just scored. That guy who just came up with a first down. They're young and fast. They've got a run game, and they've got a quarterback, and they got a coach. And we talk about the Colts destroying people. They've got the best record in the league and the only one loss team in the league at 7-1. As I mentioned to start this whole segment, Green Bay has won 4 games decided by 2 or more possessions. Only Indianapolis has more with 5. Green Bay's win last night gave them 6 games of scoring at least 27 points. Only Indianapolis has more with 7. So right now, the Packers are an elite team. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers are now 4-3. And once again, we're wondering what's up. A team that starts fast and then can't finish the season again? Is that what's happening again? 4-3? It helps them that the objects in their rearview mirror are not nearly as close as they might appear, although we'll talk about the Ravens making a run potentially now. So they still lead the division by multiple games. There's still a lot more rubber meeting the road. Rodgers does look good. He doesn't look old to me. But sometimes the offense just starts sputtering. They don't pop it in the end zone when they need to. It's just the timeliness for this team appears to be off right now. Had they actually scored touchdowns instead of settling for field goals in the first half, might have had a different result. Okay? If they could get off the field defensively more often with their name stars that they have out there, it would lead to a different result. And I know it's going to wind up in Tomlin's lap locally again. And you're just wondering if this doesn't finish up well, would this be the time that they finally do part ways? You got to start to wonder that for sure. And next up for them are 2 tough games. The Colts, who I just mentioned, who are just eviscerating people, running Jonathan Taylor down everyone's throats. And Daniel Jones is making some flawless quarterback play consistently appear in a way that we've never seen from him. He's playing at the absolute top of his game. They're next in Acrisure before the Steelers visit the Chargers, who are getting healthier and better. But it really is about their division schedule. The Bengals just did something filthy to their bed yesterday. Try to be as clean as possible for the Disney Plus ESPN app audience and the radio folks.
Soiled it. That would be easy.
Indeed. And they have both against Baltimore. Take care of those business games and you're going to host a game with Aaron Rodgers for the playoffs. It's just that simple. You know, win your division games. They're still right there in front of you. Despite having some really difficult contests. Detroit, they play. They're strolling through their entire Aaron Rodgers' NFC North farewell tour is happening right now. Pittsburgh has to go visit Detroit, which will not be easy. They have to visit Chicago, where Rodgers, as you know, owns the franchise. They have Buffalo at home as well. It is really tough. But the way through is to win your division. They currently lead it with a 4-3 record, and the only one that's close to them is the 3-5 Cincinnati Bengals, the 2-5 Ravens as well. They play them both twice. Win those games, then you have to worry about who's coming to your house for a wild card contest. It doesn't matter the rest of your record. You're two in front of the second best team right now, who may or may not have Burrow back for one of them. That's my two cents on the Steelers. Not looking good right now. It does look like it's falling apart again. We're anemic. We're not performing well. It's the coaching. It's this. It's that. You know, we're not playing complimentary football. We're not playing clean football. The end of the day, win your division games. You win your division. You host a playoff game and see what happens and get that lottery ticket.
But they have to do it by outscoring teams. And like you said, they can't get the ball in the end zone. So that's kind of a big issue.
Well, I mean, they can on the chunk plays. They just, the red zone, like it seems like when they score, Rodgers is throwing in from the north side of the 20.
Yeah.
You know? And he does look good. He looks way more spry than that video of him, remember, running through the ladder during summertime.
Looked pretty bad.
And he looked like Fredgie Sanford and was like, uh-oh. No, he does look spry, and his arm is as good as ever.
Yeah, he's exceeded.
Neck up, he's playing, he's Rodgers.
He's outperformed, I think, what most people kind of thought going into the year. But their secondary is brutal. They're, you know, last in yards allowed. They've given up 700 yards passing in the last two games.
All right, when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm done with the tush push. I'm not lying to you. I'm done with it now. And that's next. I'm with the Packers on that front.
Now you're done.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. And then, of course, we pour one out for Scataboo when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, "We've got your back. We've got your car ready to go back on the road." It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Introducing your new Dell PC, powered by the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps you handle a lot, even when your holiday to-do list gets to be a lot. Because it's built with all-day battery plus powerful AI features that help you do it all with ease, from editing images to drafting emails to summarizing large documents to multitasking. So you can organize your holiday shopping and make custom holiday decor and search for great holiday deals and respond to holiday requests and customer questions and customers requesting custom things and plan the perfect holiday dinner for vegans, vegetarians, pescatarians, and Uncle Mike's carnivore diet. Luckily, you can get a PC that helps you do it all faster, so you can get it all done. That's the power of a Dell PC with Intel inside, backed by Dell's Price Match Guarantee. Get yours today at Dell.com/holiday. Terms and conditions apply. See Dell.com for details.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Listen, I have been a defender of the tush push around these parts because it's a football play. You know, you can do things off of it other than just push the quarterback's ass for a first down. As a matter of fact, I think they gave the ball to Saquon earlier this year. He just scampered right in the end zone.
Yeah, a little sweep.
So I've been a defender of it. And I know Green Bay was trying to legislate it out, and we had our fun with our show by, messing with the copy of their proposal to the league ownership on this vote a few months ago to say, basically, one of the reasons why we want this out, there's the player safety issue, but we can't stop it. That's the general sense, is everybody wants it out because you can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it, to use Dan Patrick's phrase. And you're right. You can't stop it. I mean, didn't we see, and it's getting farcical. Last year got completely farcical in the NFC Championship, right? When I believe the son of Hockley, the Hockley progeny, by the way, is that a band? Is that a cover band? Hey,
come out to see my
cover band tonight. You know,
they opened up for Pearl Jam in 93.
Is that right? Or yeah, right. Sure. Anyway, you remember he was at Luvu of Washington, kept jumping over the line of scrimmage.
I like that.
He basically got on the mic and threatened to pull the NFC Championship game car over to award a touchdown. Like, we can award a touchdown to the other team, yeah, was essentially what he was telling the crowd. Yep. Knock it off! Don't make me pull this car over.
I remember getting on group chat like, "Can he do that?"
Yeah, I think Pereira hopped in to say he could do that. Play survived, as we all know. They're still using it, and I'm now officially, after what I saw yesterday against the Giants, I'm done with it because the league can't get the officiating of it right. They swore a couple of weeks ago when Fox had a gajillion cameras on the Eagles, because the Eagles play quite a bit, one would think, on Fox for the whole country to see, and they're 50 camera games that are 4K and everything. You could see some of the offensive linemen firing off before the snap as they're shooting down the line in the small little tunnel of space that you could see between the offense and the defensive lines all lined up for this scrum. And then yesterday, if you're going to rule forward progress is stopped on somebody who has clearly fumbled the ball during the tush push, then it's truly an unstoppable play, because the number of times you could call Jalen Hurts stopped on forward progress during a tush push, I'd lose track. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the pile goes three yards
and then
forward.
The pile goes so now, how every rule change that the competition committee considers, they always talk about, if we pass it, what is the unintended consequence that we're not thinking of? The unintended consequence of this tush push has now reached the point of, guess what? We're great at it because we've got a quarterback who's a load. He's a truck, okay? His lower half, Saquon on occasion will just look at the lower half and go, oh, okay, I see it, right? So Hurts is not going to get hurt, and he's not afraid of being hurt, Hurts. And the offensive line is terrific at it. And now they have the unintended consequence of you can't officiate it. You're putting the refs in a spot now. And so now, if you can add on top of it, you not only stopped it, you turned it over on him, but sorry, we ruled that Hurts's forward progress has been stopped. It's like, oh, really? Because it seems to be stopped every time and you let it go until he's shoved into the end zone. That was a fumble yesterday, people. 100%. And listen, would the Giants have been able to win that game anyway? Who the hell knows? Saquon did make it even worse, run it in for the second time after they got the ball back when they shouldn't have. But I'm done with it, man. It's just not fun to watch. It's so inevitable. And now if they can't officiate it, then you got to just get rid of it. Because they have trouble officiating it. And Daboll lost his mind yesterday. He had every right to. Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't know if you saw what he said afterwards. Yeah. He's basically called out the officiating. I think Brian Burns screamed out in the background, they're going to fine you. And he goes, oh, I thought it was a great play.
Yeah, he completely flipped it real quick. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. He cursed about it.
Because his wallet was on the line. Yeah. And I understand it. Let's just put it this way. He wanted to stop the forward progress of the fine letter showing up in his locker.
Shout out to Burns for looking.
But I don't think he was as successful at stopping that as the Eagles were successful at running this play again. And now the officials were supposed to say, like a couple weeks ago, they're like, we're on this now. If they're jumping off sides, we're on it. Now it's like, oh, that fumble, that's his forward progress. It stopped. And it's just like, so what? Let's break down the tape of what a tush push looks like when the forward progress is stopped and see if we can be consistent on calling that. Can we? Of course not. It's impossible. It is a scrum. It is a mosh pit every time. And that's to the benefit of the Eagles. It's the unintended consequence. It puts the pressure on the defense and it puts the pressure on the officials to basically say, call us out on it. And you just flood the zone every single time. It's kind of like politics today. Not to get too crazy. This was Daboll after the game on the non-fumble.
Brian, what did they tell you on the tush push fumble play? And what did you challenge afterwards?
Yeah, I'd just say our guys upstairs were pretty adamant about challenging the play. I have a lot of trust and faith in them, and it didn't work out. Not going to get any particulars though with it.
When he initially said you weren't allowed to challenge it, but you did again. Like, were they wrong that you weren't allowed to challenge it?
Yeah, no, I respect it. I'm not going to get into the particulars of it. I got a lot of confidence in the guys we have upstairs with that stuff, and just didn't work out.
So I'm done with it. If they get rid of it, I won't miss it. Flat out, I'm finished with it. It's my 2 cents on that play. As for the game, let's talk about it. Eagles look good. I mean, the Eagles, I know so much hand-wringing about, you know, are they any good? We spent a good 5 minutes on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday morning about what's their identity. What is their identity? That's the issue. A.J. Brown was out. Let's find out what their identity is. And I think their identity, it Hurts throwing it to Dallas Goedert as much as he did. That's one thing. And Hurts just throwing it is another thing. It goes through 26. I mean, let's just cut the BS here. If 26 is on point and they can run it with 26, it all works off of that. That's how they greased telephone poles and had a parade last year. It's just that simple. Does he have to run for 2,000 yards in a season? No. But if he's running it and they start grinding you down, then the play action is just going to open wide up, and that's it. Just run the guy. 14 carries, 150 yards, And he didn't return after a groin injury in the third quarter after another massive run by him. But they didn't need him. That thing was finished. And I think Jalen Hurts is pointing out it works well with him under center. That may be another thing that they've discovered.
I enjoy being under center and being able to complement things within our run game and find a flow. I think when you have more variety and you have different variations of what you do, you definitely can build off of that. And so I think the best of them usually are able to attack people in different ways, and they can pick their poison in that. And I do think that element of what we do, it has always done something for us. And we just want to continue to build off of that.
That's it. Then that's it. Rip the knob off. Keep the Kelly Green uniforms while you're at it.
Yeah, agreed.
38 points. 427 total yards, 276 rush yards. Those were all season highs. That's it. Leave him under center as much as he wants. Get Saquon going, and you're win football games. And you're 6-2. Remember last year they were 2-2. They went into a bye, came back, and only lost, I think, once, if not twice, the rest of the season. They're going to win a bye. Let's get them healthy, and I'm sure it'll be refreshing for them that they come off a win, and it's not all about is AJ Brown happy.
Well, stay tuned for AJ's socials this week.
Okay, fine. Then you know what? They just came up with 250 or more rush yards and four passing touchdowns in a game for the fourth time, just the fourth time since 1950. All right? Then this is what we're going to do. And guess what, AJ? We'll welcome you back. We're not trading you. Just sit tight, hang out, trust in the process, even though you pretty much don't. And we'll get you another shiny thing for your finger.
Do you think this week it's going to be, even when they don't need me, they don't need me?
Hey, if that's what it is, then let Sirianni handle it. 54th win for him in his career. Ties Dick Vermeil for third most in the franchise's history. So lay it on his lap. He can handle it. You know? And the whole team, I think they're happiest when they're unhappy. They're kind of like you in Boston. It's a Northeast thing, maybe.
It's a Northeast thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Listen,
it's an East Coast thing.
I think I just maybe oversimplified it. Oh, man. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Giants a little bit and what happened in the game from them. From that standpoint, also still to come, we'll talk about the Ravens potentially making a run here. Cowboys and Broncos. Who's next for LSU? What's up with that? Brian Kelly playing the Powerball just by getting fired. That's next.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Buying a car can be like a long road trip. There's negotiating prices, lots of fees, and a difficult process. But with an auto loan from Navy Federal, you're on the highway to higher savings. We want our members to save more on their next auto purchase. That's why we offer great rates, military discounts, and pre-approvals that are good for 90 days. Plus, we offer most decisions in seconds. You could even get $200 when you refinance your auto loans from another lender with us. So if you want to save more on your next auto purchase, learn more and apply for an auto loan at NavyFederal.org/autoloans. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Terms and conditions apply for military discounts. Refinance loan must be at least $5,000 to be eligible for the $200. Terms and conditions apply. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers 24/7 protection when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle. Learn more at progressive.com. Let's talk about a bummer. Cam Scataboo having his leg broken into pieces. And just how popular has Cam Scataboo become in just 7+ National Football League games is that he received a loud ovation in Philadelphia being carted off. And I'm not just that's not in any way, shape, or form calling into question the humanity of Eagles fans who are very sensitive on the subject matter and understandably so. I get it. But I think they love his play too. I think they respect his play as well. And apparently, the Giants, you know, you could see, you texted the group, TJ, that when we're like, how bad was it? Because the Fox didn't show a replay.
Right.
And you're like texting, Jackson Dart's response said it all. You're right. It said it all. And then the Aircast shows it to you. And if you know, don't look at the replay. It's awful. It's terrible.
I unfortunately saw it live.
Yeah, I hear you.
Don't do it.
And it was not, I mean, that was a hip tackle. It looked like Zach Bond dragged him down. I'm sure he doesn't intend to break his leg, but that's why they try to make these hip drop tackles illegal. Well, they have made it illegal. There was no flag for it. I'm wondering if Bond's going to get a fine for it. But it was not called. It was just part of a day where
officiating was
the Giants got a bomb of a touchdown after the injury call back on an offensive pass interference that was highly questionable as well. The tush push went the way that it went. This was Daboll after the game talking about Scatawoo.
Yeah, feel absolutely terrible for the young man. Obviously, he saw it, or it looked bad. You know, you feel for anybody on your team that goes down and has a really bad injury. And I feel, and I know the players feel the same way about Scat.
And I feel for Daboll too, man. I mean, Dart is clearly a breath of fresh air.
He's got the juice, man.
Right. And then they lose Malik Nabers in the game in which they finally push the button for Dart to start. And now a few games later, Scatterboo's out for the season. And these aren't just like, well, we'll see if they can come back in week 12 and see what we got.
Yeah, they're definitely
not. This is 2026. See ya.
Yeah.
The Giants just cannot catch a break other than the fact that they clearly caught wind beneath their wings, if you will, with this kid Dart. He's the real deal, man. But I feel for the Giants and Scatawoo too. I hope we get to see him back in 2026, you know, looking like the Scatawoo that we've seen right now. Because when you see an ankle injury like this, a fibula, lower leg, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's balling out like he used to. So hopefully we'll see Scatawoo do the same thing. But man, the Giants, oh gosh, no luck at all. With that, next up for them is San Francisco, which I know is already dreading playing in MetLife again because they lost half their team the last time they played there, I think. Then the Giants are at Chicago, home for Green Bay, at Detroit, and then at New England. I mean, goodness gracious, it's only going to get tougher. We'll see how Dart helps navigate it. And that defense is awesome. But they, up front, they give up way too many points, and I'm wondering if the DC is going to eat it there too. Straight up. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. One last team to hit at the end of our first hour. And then your phone calls, we'll take them all show right here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Kind of told you a few weeks ago, this team is not out of it. Was referring to the Cincinnati Bengals in the same way, thinking that Jake Browning was going to help them come back. And then Joe Flacco helped them come back. Until the Jets just came back on him. We'll talk about that later on in the program. But the Baltimore Ravens are not dead yet. I mean, they're kind of like, I mean, there's all sorts of Monty Python, Holy Grail references here. They're not dead yet. You know, everybody's bringing out their dead of 1-5 team. They're not dead yet. And then they're also like that Dark Knight that, you know, it's just a flesh wound. Snoop Huntley, everybody. He showed up. He showed out.
Plays like the Pro Bowler he is.
Well, Snoop Huntley, good one. Snoop Huntley, once upon a time, did fill in for Lamar Jackson and looked pretty damn good. And that's the Snoop Huntley that showed up yesterday for the Ravens, who got two touchdowns from Derrick Henry. Yeah. By the way, wise to just let's lean on Derrick Henry and let's get a few plays from Snoop Huntley. And let's get Snoop playing clean football, 17-22, a touchdown that he threw to a tight end named Kolar. Talk about National Tight Ends Day, right? And Derrick Henry scored twice as he's now third place all time with career games of two or more rushing touchdowns of 29. He is 7 behind Emmett and 9 behind LT. And the Huntley start was massive. That was it. And then you know, they took care of business defensively against Caleb Williams, who had tons of time to throw, but just couldn't find anybody other than Rome Odunze again, 7 for 114 for him. No takeaways for the Bear defense. That was huge. They had three or more takeaways in each of their previous four games. No takeaways, and that's all she wrote there. Bears at 4-3, though. They'd assigned for that coming into the season and certainly after starting 0-2 this season. They'd assigned for it. We'll see what happens moving forward. A little bit up, a little bit down. They're going to go through that roller coaster with Caleb in his first year with Ben Johnson. It's tough for Bears fans to watch, you know, when Bo Nix in year two looks like that and Drake May is off to an MVP start. But the Ravens come up with that win. Lamar, looks like we're going to see him in Miami to kick off week 9 on Thursday. And then after that, two more on the road in a row at Minnesota. We'll see how they look with J.J. McCarthy. And they're at Cleveland, home for the Jets. Then they get Cincinnati twice around the first of two games against Pittsburgh. All right. You can make some hay right there. You can go on a nice run. And guess what you can do? You can win the division. They still have their games against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh right in front of them. And one more against Cleveland. And they are only two back. And Lamar's coming back. Look out. It's there. It's there in the ether. Can they make it work? Can they make it happen? They've dug themselves a hole where the margin for error is small.
Well, the desert thinks it's going to happen. They do. They're minus money to win the division.
Already.
Minus 105.
They're two behind the Steelers.
Steelers plus 175.
Here I am thinking I'm ahead of the curve. And Vegas is like, it's a curve, sir.
Hold
we're
on.
Already. We create. You're ahead of the curve. We create the curve.
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
Yeah, they're good.
I thought I was so smart here. All right. What can I tell you? I'm following the pack then. Because I'm seeing it. You're seeing it. Yeah. Everyone's seeing it.
I mean, they could easily win the next five. Suddenly they're 7-5 into their first Steeler game. And you're like, okay, the Ravens are back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's right there, but they have to win the games we expect them to win
right.
And not lose the games that we don't expect them to lose like they did in falling to 1-5.
Correct.
So let's see. Let's see. But well done, Ravens. That's a big win for them coming off their bye to save their season to 2-5. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll chat with the ESPN radio audience a little bit more when we come back in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.